The Social Geeks, Episode 7 for Tuesday, September 9th, The Ninja and Dead at the Beach, brought to you today by Loads of Chocolate.
Welcome, everybody. Another Social Geeks Roundtable. We put together the best of the best, those of us that can stay awake late at night and apparently don't have needle pointing to do. This week, we got Jeff back again, Wayne back again, Corvina back again, and hopefully a couple people pop in and out as they said they might do. So, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
Awesome sauce.
Oh, so that's everybody, and we hear Skype pings in the background. Sorry, that's all right.
My bad.
Let's catch up on the, that's all right, because a minute ago you sent me a direct and my SMS was going off. All right, so let's catch up with everybody. How's the, mainly on Jeff's, how's the front feed interface? You made any more changes to the darn thing since last time?
I don't know, just adding new stuff all the time, all cool links and everything. So, still the same.
Excellent. That's it?
That's it.
All right, man. Yeah, I'm glad it looks great then. All right, Wayne, what's up with the big announcements last time? You had us on this whole pins and needles, and what's the deal?
Wow, well, the main site for the big announcement didn't get completed, but I do have a splash page up for WayneSutton.tv that's in development. Online TV live streaming.
Of you?
Website.
Of you already?
It's of me, where you can find me on the web live streaming anytime during the day on 12 different live stream video social networking sites.
Jeez, how many cameras do you have?
It's the potty cam worries me a lot.
Yeah, but live streams won't be going every time and every minute throughout the day, but there will be a video blog as well.
Like quick 12-second type, or like longer, you making, you know?
Longer, more production type videos, like you know how you've seen the Nation, but kind of like the Giga Own show, where you have season-length videos that Louis produced, where you have the intro and the outro. It can be more kind of viral videos talking about the online video industry.
Cool. That actually sounds cool. We've never seen you all day long, so you only see when you're looking your best and your little, you know. What is the one you do, the triangle one? What is the actual...
Oh, the 30 threads?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my co-worker. We produce a video show twice a week, but it may be her one show, me another show. Like this week, she produces both videos.
Okay. Cool. We'll have to put those links out there. I actually caught one of those the other day, so I actually have to toss those out there. And, of course, the mystical Corvita, what you been up to?
School and blogging
and
sleeping and eating. And being just overall awesome sauce, as always.
Yeah.
Doesn't really change, Chris. I'm sorry.
Doesn't change. All right, so before we go too deep into the life of Corvina, let's hit the big news. Because this is one that snuck up on me everyone knows. This is, you know, my tech-free week. Everyone on the half of the world I live in Lotus knows. This is my tech-free week each year for about the past 11 years. But while I was on tech-free week, Google apparently thought they didn't own enough of the internet real estate and released Chrome. How many of you guys have Chrome running already?
I do.
I have it installed.
Oh, well, there you go. Three for three. All right, so before we even talk about the articles and what they've been saying about it, what first impressions, who's up first?
Ladies first.
Oh, God. I already posted my thoughts on it on SheGeeks.net, and it's half-baked to me.
Okay.
I got a lot of... negative responses about my comments for that, but it's maybe just a little too simple for me.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you're looking for something that just loads a web page really fast, then Chrome is definitely for you. But if you want what a browser should be, which is just about fast loading web pages,
we had someone jump in with us. Or did we lose somebody? All right. We'll ignore the Bing and we'll just keep going. So did on the Chrome though. Now you loaded it up. Is it a large install? What's the deal with the whole thing that they did? Did they make it try to be, you know, small compressed? They said components from what, WebKit and Firefox both.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a smaller download, bigger, faster? What's the deal?
The download wasn't that big, and installing it was pretty quick. actually. They did try to install a couple of things on the side, though, which I didn't appreciate, Google. It's showing up, it's showing up as like 56.5 megabytes on my laptop.
Now, did you notice the one thing that they tout is the way they sandbox each tab? So, you know, you're running 20 tabs and one of them goes awry, you don't have to kill the whole browser. Have you played with that yet? So apparently you can see how much memory or CPU each one of these things is running if I looked at the feature set, right?
Yep. Yeah. I posted a screenshot from mine on a friend feed because I had, like, I didn't realize it was going to separate each one in the task manager. I really wasn't thinking about that. So when I opened my task manager, it saw, like, 20 different things saying Google Chrome. I was like, what the hell is this thing doing? It's taking over my laptop. But I started closing stuff randomly, and it definitely does exactly what it says it's supposed to do. If you close one process out of your task manager, it doesn't shut down the entire browser.
Well, that's cool. Wayne, are you using this as your only browser now?
On my work laptop, yes. Since I had installed, you know, Firefox kind of buggy on Windows XP, not kind of buggy, but kind of memory hog. And Explorer actually was loading pages faster. And then when I saw Google Chrome, I just completely scratched both of them. It's a particular plugin within extension with Firefox. I'm using Google Chrome exclusively. And you know, for that, I'm just browsing web pages, doing short blog posts for, you know, the job, and that's all I need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it looks in that. I watched the video. So Google put out not only the feature set, but a bunch of, you know, videos, little 26-second to 30-second videos of, you know, what it does and the different parts of it. And I sat there and said, okay, but then when I started reading the articles, Jeff, are you running this thing, like, by itself now, or are you still playing with, you know, each type of browser?
Well, hey there. Did you know I dropped off the call?
Yeah, we saw you drop off and come back, but that's okay. We'll just pretend like,
okay, cool.
You were here,
yeah.
Pretend like you were here the whole time.
I'm using it a little bit. I'm assuming we're still talking about Chrome.
We're still talking about Chrome.
I've kind of played around with it. I'm still using Firefox as my main browser, but I've been playing around with it. It's kind of cool.
Who wrote the article? Wait, I think Corvita linked it to. We'll put it on our bookmarks. Did you say something about Chrome getting extensions?
Read Write Web did.
And what's the deal? Are they going to? Or what are they saying?
Yep, extensions is definitely supposed to be coming up in the future along with Android integration. Definitely something to look forward to. I'm curious to know what type of extensions. We didn't really get any too much information on that.
Hopefully Grease Monkey.
Yeah, what I heard was from the launch video was that, you know, it was going to have like something like an API because it is open source. And that people can like build their own extensions for it. And as a matter of fact, they're looking. I think the way that what they did is also promote, because there's no Mac Chrome now. They promoted that they would love for people to go ahead and start working on the Mac version on their own.
Yep.
So you know, I think we'll see a huge extension market. To me, Google is taking a page out of Firefox book and Apple's book with the media hype that they created. And the viral marketing, you know, with a viral cartoon video they did, and also with having it open source and reaching out to the community to say, here's the code, develop what you want to develop.
Well, let's take it to, you know, the social side, which is what everyone's probably sitting here going, what the heck does that have to do with the social side? But if they take this to Android, and Android becomes the open platform, and they use this on the browser instead of a little Safari thing like on the iPhone, and they make an open platform device for all the carriers, not just locked-in stuff, you know, that's coming down the pipe, you've got a device with a lightweight, pretty fast browser made by Google that, of course, you know, will support Google Talk and everything on Android, but anyone will be able to write to it, unlike the iPhone, and you've got a mobile tool that will do just about anything you want to do.
Yeah, but do you really think Google is going to just open it up like that?
Yeah.
Do you really think they won't have any type of restrictions or limitations like Apple does?
I think there'll have to be some sort of control, but not as strict as, you know, Steve Jobs himself and a team sitting there looking at every single application that comes through. you know, a try it at your own risk. Look at Google Gadgets. What is there, 40-something thousand gadgets on there? And half of them work right and half of them don't. And, well, I shouldn't say half, you know, a large number don't work right. And who knows what they would do, but it's a use at your own risk type of move, right? You don't actually pay for those things.
Yeah, I think only Google, you know, can do this at this stage in the mobile game industry, you know. Not mobile game, but just, you know, in the mobile industry. Because, you know, Palm is going downhill. You know, BlackBerry is still riding the government contract wave. Apple has, you know, the iPod. They started with the iPods, you know, the iPhone. And then Google coming in, you know, I saw this on, like, the local news about Google web browser. I'm not talking about, like, you know, watching CNN or doing their you know, MSNBC or CNBC. I'm talking about just the local news talking about Google's new web browser.
Your 12 feeds don't count. We aren't counting your little web. Wayne's on TV. We're not.
No, that ain't made a broadcast yet.
We're not talking about your local channels.
Nah, it was like the local Time Warner News channel. I was like, they're talking about Google Chrome. So
they really used the media really well with the release of this, because I saw it on Tech Meme, and I wasn't even going to download it, but it got so much hype, like from outside, even outside of our little Web 2.0 bubble and whatnot. They really, like, effectively use this. It got to a point where I had no choice but to download it.
Well, then we'll be fair. We'll hit the other top 2 points what everyone's saying, and then we'll let it ride, because everyone is talking about Chrome, you know, nonstop. But they said bugs, errors, and, you know, a couple other problems with SSL. Also, a known hack that existed because they weren't using a recent version of one of the kits. Things like that that are in it that people were surprised Google did release, though, before they let it, you know, loose in the wild.
And the privacy, and the, you know, the privacy, because there was some talk. I think they changed their user license, but I got word today that was saying that Google, there's some testing that if you use Google Chrome, Google's trying to own all your content that you upload or send through their browser. And there was something about there was an index, like, what's Google indexing? I could be wrong about this, but I think I read it say that Google is indexing everything that you type in the search box, well, type in the actual URL /search window.
Right. So, yeah, it is.
Sure,
yeah,
I wouldn't see why.
All their information back. I got a serious problem with that.
Why wouldn't you? Mainly, you know, you search the kind of site she searched. But why wouldn't you worry about those type of things? Because, one, you know they're going to do something like that. Why? It helps them build their indexing better, right? Helps them build up their rankings for where people go to. It gives them more true value instead of just number hits or paid or how many times it's backlinked. They can start building some true rankings on sites and traffic. They already know these things, but using your browser, you're tightly locked in. And now imagine every mobile device that's out there using their browser.
Yeah, and that's the thing about what just happened, what we just discussed about Google, you know, with all this media and everybody writing about it, so, and all this attention. So when Android drops and it gets into the hands of a few people, and they start blogging about it more.
Right.
And then the developers, and they talk about having a mobile app store too, and it creates an opportunity for them to make money just like the Apple App Store. If the user interface is just as slick as the Apple's or just as slick as Chrome's, I think Chrome is nice. You know, it's not saying all glossy, you know, super clean like the iPhone look, but, you know, Chrome
it's
is nice.
Fluid.
You know,
it's very fluid.
Yeah. People will develop apps for it. I really do. I think there's going to be a huge mobile market for it. And I think Windows Media, the Windows mobile industry, and Palm is going to be the two biggest losers, and it's going to be Apple and Google.
Well Windows Mobile has responded, and they're going to release their own little marketplace, their own little portal for accessing Windows Mobile applications, but I'm not sure how that'll do, just because that's been out for so long, and I hate when these companies come very late to the game with these things. It's a drag, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm on your side, basically, that they'll definitely lose, but Microsoft is putting out a response for that, for the Windows mobile market.
Well, I dumped two links out there, one from PC World, one from Information Week, both saying issues with Chrome, issues and security problems and everything else, and that basically, you know, there's known problems and known issues, but they expect Google to fix them and come back strong. And they said it was a beta. It's not in production. And what's different about it is they didn't have it on their beta site, per se, like they usually do. You know, they have a whole section of the labs. But they put it out there as, you know, please load it now and let us know what you think. And people are telling them what the heck they think. So,
just to kind of go back for a second to their terms of service, they stated in the terms of service that a perpetual, irrevocable, worldwide, royalty-free, and non-exclusive license to reproduce, adapt, modify, translate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute any content that you submit, post, or display on or through the services with Google Chrome. That was in their terms of service.
Wow. Well, all right, the legal department has spoken. Glad you have read the whole thing, because how many of us actually read those?
None of us, but Read Write Web has that article up, so you can definitely check that out.
Perfect. Not a single one of us ever read those. Perfect.
No, I mean, no one reads the terms of service for any application. You just accept and keep it moving. Who's going to go through all those pages?
Yeah, I wait for the bloggers to write about it, and then I say, okay,
we'll read it later.
We've got it. We've got it for you. Read Write Web has it for you.
So where are we jumping next? Tulu?
Yeah, Tulu.
Tulu. Let's hit it, because it's, okay, so we've talked about this before. We podcasted about, you know, its usability. We talked about it. What was that? Back in episode 2 or 3, I think. So, what do you guys, who use? I know I do. Raise my hand. I use Tulu. Who else?
I use Tulu.
I do.
When?
I will start as soon as I set my invite. I
Jeff
just
wrote
my
a post
invite
about their, didn't Jeff write a post about their,
yes.
Jeff, about their new release, the tagging?
Yep.
I did, yes. They added tags to their service. You can, you know, like if you pull up a blog or whatever, you know, you've saved in there, you can see your tags and the top tag. Like for, say, you put Social Geeks in there, it'll show your tags, the top tags, and similar feeds to that, to Social Geeks or to She Geeks or whatever you might have in there. So that's kind of cool. It has a pretty cool, you know, pretty easy interface to enter the tags. You just kind of click in a box and it lets you type them in, and it'll even kind of give you like an auto feeds that maybe match, like if you put an A in there, Apple will come up or whatever, and then you can kind of go down and select it. So it's pretty cool, pretty cool interface and pretty, you know, easy to use.
Do you see it, Jeff, do you see it competing with anything? And now keep in mind it's so people don't use it yet. So it's not really sharing the actual data from the feed, but it's sharing the feeds themselves and those that have similar feeds, so you guys can start finding, you know, feeds based off that. So finding friends that have the similar likes and then following their likes, kind of like a Last.fm for, you know, RSS, right?
Right, and now with the tags, you can, you know, search for certain subjects. So if you're looking for a feed that has to do with Apple, or a feed that has to do with tech, or a feed that has to do with Chrome, now instead of going to like all your friends' lists and seeing what they're subscribed to and then find something, now you can use a tag and you can search for it. It just makes it a lot easier to find if you're looking for certain subjects for feeds.
Do you think this will take over something like, I mean, look at the way we do bookmarks, right? So you do social bookmarking now. Now I'm going to tag my feeds themselves. Do you see this always being a separate service, you guys, or do you see this being one that someone integrates in and says, heck, why am I just taking their bookmarks? Why not their feeds also and make them like a mega service?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Personally, I'm sick of tagging stuff. But I think as it pertains to Tulu as a service, it'll definitely help their service. I mean, the whole point is to find, you know, similar feeds that might be of interest, and tagging will definitely help that out a lot. But I'm not sure if it would take off outside of Tulu, because I wouldn't want to tag a million feeds.
Yeah. Anybody else? What do you guys think? I have my own opinion. I'll wait.
I think it was a good move. I mean, I think it, you know, like I said, it just makes the service easier to use, because before I just had all my friends on there. You know, I might have 40 people that I have, and I'm getting what their feeds are.
well, let's say tomorrow, all of a sudden I decide I want to find feeds on, say, Chrome, let's say, since it's a hot subject. Now I can go in, do a search on a tag for Chrome and find every one of my friends or even people who aren't my friends who have tagged their feed with Chrome, and then I can find those a lot faster than kind of searching through everyone's feeds. It's just like trying to find a bookmark on Delicious or something. If I'm looking for something on Firefox or something on social media, I can just type that in and find it real quick instead of, you know, searching through everyone's long list of bookmark stuff.
I think it'll make it easier to share feeds with other people, too. I saw that they're going to have, they have your own little tag cloud on top of that for the different profiles. So you can, like, I personally never really shared a feed with any of my friends there because I'm not quite sure what they would like, and I don't feel like going through all of their feeds to see, well, hey, they'll probably like this too. I can just look at the tag cloud now and say, oh, okay, great. They'll like this too and share it.
I'm still in the same place I was before with Tulu. While it's cool, there's, I don't know, it's hard to go and get everything you want off of the service. I still find myself going back to social bookmarks. And, I mean, look at the, it gives you recommendations of people that might have similar likes as you. So what I found is I do is anybody that has 90% or higher, I just automatically add them as a contact so I can see if there's more feeds. But I end up seeing the same feeds over and over again. So is it, it's the echo chamber of feeds is what we get in there. Every now and then you come across a new one and a good one, no doubt. But for the most part, I get the echo chamber. I get the same feeds, you know, consistently as we go through.
Well, now you can start clicking the tag clouds and see if that helps.
Exactly.
All right, the heck with all of you. Okay. It wasn't what I was hoping you'd say. I hope you say, you know, that's a good point. No, okay, fine. Good all of you. I'll play with the tag clouds and see what we come up with then and see what it is. But are you guys, so Wayne needs an invite. We can get him an invite.
I'm in. Yeah, Covita actually sent me an invite a while ago, so I'm in, and I just tried to upload my Google Reader feeds, and I got a fail. But I'm just going to go to my page and evaluate the site, and maybe talk about it later.
Well, I've now added Wayne, and it says you and I have nothing in common.
I was trying to input my feed, so I'll try to do it later.
That's no problem.
But the question, though, is about tagging, though. Like Kobita said, who takes the time? To, you know, she's kind of sick of tagging. And it seems like, you know, for us, I don't know about, you know, everybody else, but I know for me, tagging is kind of old, and I find myself tagging things. I really don't go back and use the tag later on. This is something that I use consistently. So how would the community, I'm not in the community yet, but how is the community, do you think the community will adapt to the tagging to make it easy for people to find new items?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the integration, because what I'm seeing now, when you add a feed to Tulu, you're not presented with an option to just tag it while you're adding it. I think you have to go back in and tag it, which is another roadblock that most people would not want to take the time to do. So that's definitely something they'll probably have to work on.
How many invites does everybody have for Tulu? Do we have unlimited?
I have a ton.
No, I don't think it's unlimited. I'd have to see how many I have. But Caleb, the guy who does it, is pretty good at, like, if I would message him and say, hey, I need, you know, 25 more, I can get them. So
do we
put
it out?
I got 105.
There? Where do I find that in here?
You go to your profile.
I'm there.
And you'll see invite a friend at the top.
I see that. Thank you. Export feeds is there. All right. Yeah, I got about another 30. So we'll put it out there. So anybody needs them, apparently, go to her first. No, we'll get everybody. The idea is to get everybody in, start sharing the feeds, upload your Google Reader, which hopefully, that's another thing, most of us should try to be connected on Google Reader. You know, we've done reports on Feedly and all the other stuff, but there's no reason why we're not sharing these feeds already, right, or the hot topics. So this is just another service to do it. The Google Reader doesn't tag. That's the big difference, right? All right. What was next on the list?
Google Reader does tag. I mean, your tags are whatever you organize them into. You just can't share them with people.
True. not the way you want to. But I think this is a good way to do it. So that's what I'm saying. I think these two, if they could kind of merge some of the features together, we'd have a good answer for everything.
No. Maybe they'll get bought by somebody.
Maybe get bought by somebody. Google has money. All right, so now Jeff actually has one he wanted to talk about. So we're gonna let you run with this one because you're using it more than anybody, I think.
Would that be Twinkie?
The Twinkie. You're having a Twinkie.
Yes, I love Twinkies.
I love Twinkies, too.
Twinkies. Now, keep in mind, we have one comment from an anonymous person who's, we won't mention her name. She says Twinkies lost all the settings twice. So have you had the kind of problems that we've heard from others?
I haven't, actually. But yeah, basically, just to mention what Twinkie is, it's in beta right now. It might even be an alpha. I don't know. So that could be part of the problem of that unnamed person not having issues. But Twinkie is basically a client for Twitter. Basically, what it does is it does what all the clients do. It pulls all your, you know, Twitter, all your friends' Twitters in. It has all your replies and everything. One different thing it has, well, it also will pull your stuff from Identica, but I don't use that, so that really wasn't a big feature. But what it'll allow you to do is create folders.
That's not a feature. He doesn't even use the service.
Basically, it lets you create folders. So, like, I have a folder for my coworkers who are on Twitter, yep. And then I have a folder for, like, my social media group here in Kansas City, and I can take all of the people who I subscribe to on Twitter and put all theirs in a folder and kind of break down your Twitter messages by groups and such. So it kind of makes it a little easier to kind of follow everybody instead of getting everything in one little, you know, stream like you do on Twitter. The other cool thing is it uses the Twitter search, which used to be Surmise, and it gives you kind of the hot topics on Twitter. So, like, I have a top 10 right now. I'm looking at it of all the top 10 talked about subjects on Twitter. So that's kind of cool. And it's a nice little client, runs in Firefox, and it's a pretty cool thing. And I have to mention the guy who actually is developing it's here in Kansas City where I live, so that kind of makes it even kind of cooler.
What about you guys? You liking it?
I see a huge opportunity for Twinkie for me because a lot of people I'm following, and if I can, instead of me having all these, like right now, I open up like maybe like 10, sometimes 5, 12 accounts because I got some set by different groups or different conferences or you know, whatever. And if I can set up folders for those individuals, I can create like a Raleigh Twitter list. I can create a Twitter list by, you know, podcast shows or Twitter list by, you know, subject. That'll be huge for me. Just go to one website to view tweets just from those group versus having a different Twitter app windows open or a different logging to a different from a different browser.
Is this like some of the other like crowd status that's tried to let you group people together, like TweetDeck to try to create some custom things? I mean, do you guys see this as the same thing with just a web interface?
I'm not familiar with those, so.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I use TweetDeck, and I have it open right now because I would come from Twirl. I don't really, you know, still kind of, you know, use TweetDeck to those advanced features. I just like it because it's clean, and, you know, I like to be able to see my all tweets, replies, and direct messages, but I don't use the other features besides that. So I would more like to use a website like Twinkie because it is groups and folders versus using the air app.
Okay. What about you?
No comment. I'm sticking with Twirl.
Sticking with Twirl? I live in Twirl. I live in Twirl still. So that's not even a...
Yeah, I can't even... You know, let me not say that. I like TweetDeck for its grouping feature. I really, when I first started using it, I really liked it for its grouping feature. But I keep going back to Twirl. It's just much easier for me, or maybe I'm just used to it. Twinkie would have its own little niche, but I wouldn't be a part of that niche because I'm just a hardcore Twirl user. It just does it for me, and I don't see a reason to switch.
Well, and one thing is if you wanted to be part of the niche, I talked to Derek, who is the developer, and he opened up a invite code for everyone who listens to the show. If they want to sign up and check out Twinkie, you can just go to the site. It's Twinkie, TweeNky.com. And you, in the invite code, you just type social geeks, all one word, and that'll let you get signed up, and you can kind of check it out and decide if you want to use it on a normal basis or not.
Wow. So we've got like a, you know, a major thing.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Well, we've got influence.
We've got influence, so he doesn't want to be talking about that. It's a whole different term. Don't say anything bad about me, please. That's a whole different thing. So now, Twinkie also has, I believe it. You can hit it from the mobile, correct? You guys can hit it on the mobile devices, if I remember correctly?
You can pull it up on a browser, but it only works with Firefox. It doesn't work with Internet Explorer.
Well, no one uses that anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's pretty much
Chrome.
That's pretty much what Derek said. He's like, nobody, it's crap anyway, so why develop for it, you know?
We all know everybody's using Chrome. It doesn't really matter at this point. Wait, that makes Easy Tweets, Slander, Hollow 3, there's a lot of mobile Twitter clients.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter Phone, I think it just came out last night for the iPhone.
Yeah, so another one there. And plus, yeah, there's a bunch for the iPhone, too, but I mean, that's just standard browser ones you can go to.
Oh, yeah.
So there's quite a few things that you can get to, which is, for people to play with. And I've seen people talk about different options they have for getting to it and, you know, what's their favorite. I go back to, I think it's Twitberry for the BlackBerry, and then I stick in Twirl for the client still because I'm still waiting for the next big thing to come across.
I'm using a web client for Twitter on the iPhone, and that's
Hollow 3, yeah, that's what I'm using, yeah, Hollow.
Yeah, I'm using that just because I find it to be more usable than any of the other clients available, but I do have Twitterlater on my iPhone, but that's only for, like, sending, tweeting pictures, which you can't, or I haven't found out a way to do it from Hollow. So.
Really?
When is Hollow coming out with a native app? I would have thought they would be one of the first ones to come out with a native Twitter iPhone app. But
I think they're going to stick with their web app.
Interesting.
I like it, yeah. You got to use the web anyways. I personally don't have a problem with it, whether they come out with a native one or not, but I just find it usability-wise a lot easier than any of the other apps, and it offers a lot more for me than some of the other ones.
And then to tie in the whole tweeting thing with Chrome, I've got Chrome on the brain. I've been using Ubiquiti a lot to tweet recently through Firefox.
Back to Ubiquiti. So we need to play with both of those. Definitely get back to both of those. And I pulled it up on the BlackBerry just to see what the Twinkie looked like, and it's not really made for the... It's made for the iPhone. It says that we love you, iPhone, but it's not really perfect for everything else. So they're getting there, probably making a better web interface for it. But it definitely works for the iPhone because it says they love the iPhone anyway. So we're good to go there.
Yeah. And basically, the big thing for me that I really liked when I started using Twinkie was the whole folders thing. That's that I really liked, being able to put everyone in kind of folders so I could go back and look. Maybe there's certain people I really want to be able to check out, and then some people I'm like, oh, I'll get to them when I can.
Okay.
No one on this call is that person.
Everyone, it's perfect. No wonder you never answer anything. You've got us all stuck into a folder, which I'll get to them when I can. That's perfect.
I know.
He never answers anything anymore.
Well, thanks for letting me know.
Exactly. All right, who had the next up on the list? What do we have next?
Social media.
Social media. Back to social media. An evolving site coming up quick. This one, I'm telling you. Oh, isn't that nice? Amber MacArthur just told us she'd love to join the podcast, but she's crashing. Darn it. We were so close. So basically, social media was one that it came out of nowhere to me, right? It was a site that was in, you know, alpha, then beta, and then out it comes, and it's a place where you're supposed to, and we talked about this, find people that you consider ones that will generate news links. Almost like a dig for social media, right?
Mm-hmm, basically. And find your newsmaker.
Find your newsmaker, but the problem is, who's a newsmaker and how is it qualified?
Everyone's a freaking newsmaker.
Everybody's a freaking newsmaker. Perfect, that's what we wanted to hear.
And we're all making the same news.
Well, yeah, what do? They clip it on their site. If you clip it, then it becomes an article that gets moved higher to the top. There's different groups, there's different networks, all sorts of pieces to it, but okay, so why are you so hot on it right now?
Why are we so hot on it now? They just released some new features to their stream, which I provided links to. Lewis Gray has a post up about it, and of course, ReadWriteWeb has a post up about it.
So what's the new stuff? What's the news? I saw you put up their new streaming, so what's the new thing?
They have a heavy stream.
They have a heavy news. A news stream, that's all you get out of it? No, what do they offer now that's new to it? They're actually integrating it to Google Reader is all that I saw.
Twitter, Dig, Delicious, and FriendFeed also. They rolled out tools for bloggers to be able to kind of highlight their activity on their sites from their own blogs to find more interesting content and whatnot. it's moving beyond, what do they call it, live streaming to news streaming. That's the remake, news streaming.
So you think So do you think it's going to become more of a consumer tool, kind of like from just being geeks looking at it?
Sarah's on.
Sarah,
hello. Sorry to interrupt.
Sorry, talk about a surprise interruption.
I'm a little late, I hear.
No, we actually thought Jeff, because he keeps hanging up and redialing back in every 30 seconds to trick us.
Oh, really? Well, that's fun. We'll carry on. I'll just pop in there when I can.
You've missed Chrome. We talked a little bit about Chrome. Do you want to give 2 seconds on Chrome? Have you loaded it? You can tell us.
What are your thoughts on Chrome? Oh, Chrome? A lot of potential, not entirely usable yet. That's my short thoughts.
Okay.
He's in agreement with me. Woo! Yeah? It's really, really cool and exciting, and it was really fun to play with, but I'm back in Firefox for everyday browsing, mainly because of the extensions. I pretty much rely on my extensions, and that's, to me, part of the browsing experience is what these extensions can do for me. And also, there's the little matter of not being able to scroll up in Chrome, so that's kind of a deal-breaker.
Really?
Yes. And I have heard that some other people are having this issue, too. We haven't determined yet, but it may be a Vista problem. You know, go figure. But we can't scroll up in Chrome on Windows. Some people are saying it works on XP, though, so it might be
Vista. I can scroll up.
Do you have Vista?
Yeah, I'm on Vista.
Well, then it's not a Vista issue. It's something else. It's maybe something on our computers. I don't know. You know, I haven't researched it. But
did you all see the same site?
A couple other people have tweeted, DM'd me, etc., emailed me to let me know they were having that problem too when I initially announced that during the live demo on Read Write Web. I was
maybe
getting some responses.
Maybe it's a Florida thing.
Hmm?
So maybe it's a Florida thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
too tired. Too hot and tired. And it didn't want to scroll up. I don't know.
You missed Chrome, and then you missed some talks. Well, we just started on social media, but we had jumped Tulu in there also. And you're in Tulu, I believe. You're already a user of that, right?
Tulu, yeah. I just added all my feeds again to Tulu because I have a bad habit of not adding my feeds from within Tulu. So I just had to upload my whole OPML file again. But I do like Tulu. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we're all using it. But we just started. You just jumped in the right time on the new changes that they're doing to social media.
Oh, social media.
Yep.
Corvita
was giving us the rundown, and that's where we were. So we're just catching up to all the new stuff they announced because we talked about social media before. And where were you, Corvita? You were telling us about the new hooks, right?
Yes. They also have a widget for bloggers.
Okay.
Everybody's coming out with widgets, and my sidebar is going to be crowded with widgets. Honestly, I've already deleted my account from social media, and... I mean, no offense, you know, it's... Listen, as a blogger, there's a lot of tools I come across, okay, and I'm on a lot of sites, and I'm just kind of, I'm trying to clean up and just keep it focused on the main sites that provide the most fulfillment and engagement for me. And social media was not that for me. I get out of social media, I already get on friend feeds.
Corey, I'm going to throw this to everybody, and we can go around the table. I want to hear the answer to everybody. As all of us being early adopters, right, we're always in there playing with the new stuff. To stop using a site, I just go away and leave the account there because I don't want, I just leave it there and I don't ever try to delete it or, you know, remove all the stuff because you never know what's going to blow up and then you go back. But is anyone else just, you guys delete your account? So we know what she does. Anybody else? Jeff, what about you first?
I tend to leave mine. I just abandon them.
Right. Sarah abandons with Wayne.
Same.
Jeff?
No, I keep them for future people to find.
So we all leave the people dead on the island, but Corvita drowns them before she leaves.
I do not. I
good analogy.
I'm just trying to
actually,
say.
Actually, Wayne, there's another option out there, Wayne, and one of them is never to leave any of them at all.
Yeah, that's very true. I try to be on as many as possible.
Wait, who is that?
Corvita, this is your buddy. This is the one who introduced you to Tulu and social media in the first place.
When are you going to say something?
So social media, I know I just want to drop in and be all anonymous and stuff, but
I
got to
watch that. That was like, hey, sexy, what you doing? What?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I got Corvita's back here. But social media, I think, is awesome. It's actually, for me, there's three major sites I'm using that are in this space. First is FriendFeed, obviously. Second is social media. And third is Strand, which is up and coming. Yep. And just because it doesn't always hit everything you're looking for right away, you can see the potential and you know where it's going. And so what social media has done is it's really taken away some of that other noise that people are talking about from FriendFeed, you know, the photos and the Twitters. And what it's doing is finding the news that's based on topics. And so if I want to drop into social media and see everything on Apple or talking about Google or social media itself, it's a good platform for that. And so I can follow individuals or just different topics, and I don't have that option on FriendFeed today.
Well, compare real quick, because Lewis can do it quick. Like, I've played with all of them. Compare something like Strands and Twine and a Tulu and a Shifter, one of those types. Which one do you prefer?
Well, those are all very different things. So Tulu is a tool, right? So Tulu is a gateway to add all of my RSS feed into Google Reader and make it visible that I've done that, to match up against other people like yourselves and see what feeds you're reading that I'm not. Strands is a great program. It's kind of like live streaming, a lot like FriendFeed, where you can have likes and comments, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Right.
But they're also very music-centric. They've always had that center. And I got to believe there's a lot of fun things coming out with Strands in the next few months, which I can't talk about. With Shifter, Shifter is just an online RSS reader where you can leave comments.
Right.
And they have some interesting things in there that Google Reader hasn't done, with the ability to have comments and see what your other friends are reading and who else is subscribed to feeds. There's a lot of different tools. Not all of them will be around in a year or two, but they're a lot of fun to play with today.
Okay, so Strands has stuff coming is what you're saying.
Strands is awesome.
I guarantee Strands is going to get bigger and better.
I love Strands. I love their service. I got a chance when I went to up to Portland a few months back. I got to meet Gabriel, who's a part of the Strands company, and he demoed Strands to me on the iPhone, and I thought it was, like, freaking awesome. I was like, man, I can't do this from my phone, though. But getting on the service, and since I've gotten on the service, it's definitely one that I've kept. I like what they're doing. I like the angle that they go at. Even though it's very similar to FriendFeed, the way they present it, it's an entirely different angle for me, anyways. That's why it's still a keeper for me. Social media, on the other hand, is not, I don't know. It's just not giving me anything new. I'm not finding anything new. Maybe because I'm following the same people I follow on FriendFeed, so they're sharing the same stuff.
I think that's probably the problem, to be honest. You know, you are, as early adopters and social media addicts, we're really trying every service, so we're seeing a lot of repetition from service to service. But a more casual user who's just generally interested in this space may find that they're not as thrilled with FriendFeed, you know, as we are, shocking, but they may find a different service more to their liking. So the fact that there's a whole bunch of them doesn't mean we have to be on all of them, but they may have the opportunity to develop communities of their own.
You know, it's funny. I think I applied for a Strands account. I don't think I have one yet. So who has all the invites?
I have an invite. I'll invite you now.
You
too, you too.
All right, well, one of you pick one and save the others for later. And Sarah and Lewis may have missed it, but earlier we've got, anyone listening to the podcast, we have a whole bunch of invites set up for Twinkie already, correct?
Yes, Social Geek
Twinkie.
Yep. So we're
good.
Twinkie lost all my information twice.
And there's our anonymous...
We saw the post, and you were the anonymous person we talked about. We said someone said they lost their information twice, so...
Well, you know, I mean, I'll give them a pass. I mean, they were an alpha at the time, so, you know, that's what you get. But I had taken a long time to customize a lot of different searches and groups, and I added a bunch of people in there, and I was, like, very excited because it was finally this really cool and easy way, like, very Gmail-like to see everyone. And then I logged back in, and they're all gone.
Oh.
And I emailed them, and they're like, sorry.
sorry.
And so I did it all again a second time, and then I just logged back in the other day, just a couple days ago, I think, and they were all gone again. They all say undefined. So I'm like, I don't know if I'm really all that willing to try it a third time. I mean, I know it's alpha or beta, but, man, that took me some time. I don't want to keep doing it until it's gold, at least.
Ouch. But so, ouch. Well, we've played enough. We played a little bit with it starting out. But so you guys, on social media, and here's what we said before, if you guys didn't hear what we talked about when Corvita and I did, is that I don't know who to trust as a newsmaker. And that's probably my biggest problem on this whole site is, there's no qualification of who to trust. So where do you turn? Everyone says, I'm following you, and you go, great, but, and you look at theirs, you're like, well, that's the same links I had anyway, or the same things that have been clipped. How do you know who to trust on the site is my problem.
One
thing you mentioned as far as following the same people, it's easy to start there.
Yep.
I apologize for any noises in the background. I got home and the babies don't always want to be compatible with us.
They're early adopters. It's fine. Go ahead. We're good.
They're very early adopters. So they're already, you know, sharing their feeds and all that.
Yeah, they want to share their opinion on the podcast.
They're sharing their feeds. I'm sure they are.
Yeah, for sure. They're twins. They have to share every feed.
Exactly.
So with social media, and, you know, you have that ability to start out following the people you know. And then, again, like with Friends Feed, you get to find who's interacting there. They also have a couple of tools which really help you find new people, one of which is to find the most popular items of the day, week, and month. And you can see who's interacting there. Maybe there's people who are on there frequently. You also have the ability to follow specific networks. So you find someone who talks a lot about Twitter or Apple if you're interested in that, and you'll see frequent names, and that's who you would see. So I think it's actually easier to find people who are relevant in social media than it is in FriendsFeed even. Just take some poking around and use the internet.
If you join certain groups on social media, like if you looked for Web 2.0 and joined a couple Web 2.0 groups, you're going to see more Web 2.0 information in your stream, your feed, or whatever. So you don't really, you can't really do that on FriendsFeed. I mean, you can do a search, but, you know, you're not really finding newsmakers necessarily. So he has a point. Now, I personally prefer FriendsFeed.
Yeah.
That's just me. But I'm probably not going to really, you know, actively use social media on the everyday basis that I use FriendsFeed. But I still think there's a potential there for some people to enjoy it. I know there's a core group of people who are just not big in FriendsFeed. They think it's too busy, too noisy, and they're not interested in all that other LastFM shares and, you know, Brightkite shares. They don't want to have to deal with hiding things. You know, they just want to read news in a different way, and that's what social media can provide.
I agree with you. I mean, because I was at work a couple months ago, and just one of my coworkers came out of nowhere and just like, I just created a social media group for one of our projects, and I'm like, for real? And because she's not on Dig, you know, she's not on FriendsFeed, you know, not Twitter and a whole lot, Brightkite, but she loves social media, and so she's all in it. You know, she got the bookmark set up, the whole nine. And, you know, that's where she goes to get her news about the industry.
What makes the way in which you can share the news compared to other services, like as far as the user interface goes, the layout of things, and how you can interact with the service? Does anybody think that makes a difference for some?
Well, I think social media, what they're doing is they're stepping away from only demanding you to put news in there internally. What they're also doing is pulling from Google Reader and FriendsFeed Direct Shares, Twitter, Dig, and so that's starting. But what's different about what social media does is they look at the tags, they look at the context, and can correctly assign that to networks. And so where it used to be harder, now I think it's getting easier, and that's part of what today's announcement was all about.
I have my own opinion about social media, and it's been, I go to it, I see some stories every now and then that I think are okay or cool that I may not have caught for some bizarre reason, but most of the links are the ones you'll find somewhere else. You know, like Sarah will share them out in Google, or someone will post a link to them, or they'll show up in Twitter. I mean, it's becoming an overlay in there. I do like now that you can bring your own into it. That's a cool thing if that's what they're letting you do, is bring your own blogs in so people can see them easier. It didn't make much sense to me at first when you'd have to link your own or hope someone would do it because you don't want to do it yourself to make yourself look, you know, like you got a big head about yourself. It was a big deal. And I go to the networks and I belong to four, and two of them or three of them actually have the same links all the time. They're like never any different. It seems that the Web 2.0 and the social networking ones are like almost identical every single time I'm in here. So I kind of stay out for the most part. I don't go there that often unless someone, you know, adds me or if there's a big story to get sent to me.
Oh, just to go back for a second, Sarah and Lewis, do you guys ever delete your accounts off of different services, or do you just leave them there?
I don't delete at all, and I think part of that is because I think a site could get better even if I don't like it at first. I think a good example of that would be like FriendBinder. Like FriendBinder launched a live streaming app, and you know it didn't really look that interesting, but we reported on it, and it still doesn't look interesting. But if I ever wanted to log back in and check them out and see if they've improved, I wouldn't have to start over. You could look at Duncan Riley. So we know Duncan Riley's story. He didn't like FriendSuite at first. He deleted his account visibly.
and then came back and is one of the best advocates of the service at this point, because you never know what could change in the interim.
Well, totally, Corvita, it's funny that you asked that, because like I said earlier, I tend to abandon them, but ironically enough, the one account that I did delete in the past was social media. And I actually just had them reactivate it because I wanted to check it out again. I feel like they've been making a lot of improvements, but initially I didn't like the service at all, but I told them, hey, you know what? You've been doing a lot of cool stuff over here. I'm going to give you another shot. I shouldn't have deleted my account. I don't know why I did it. I think it was when they were emailing update notifications. It was happening so much, and there wasn't a way to turn it off at the time, that I figured I was going to delete my whole account because I can't take any more email from them.
That's one way to do it. Forget a rule or forget blocking it temporarily. You just deleted your account.
Yeah, but that's like one of the only times I had ever done that, and I now, you know, I regretted it now because I wanted to log back in, and it was a big issue because my name was still reserved, my username was still reserved, but my email was inactive, and I had to actually contact them for help and everything, which they helped me, and it was very quick, and you know, I was able to get back in and start using it again, but I'll probably never delete my account anywhere again.
Yeah, I believe it. And, you know, Lewis, just in case you're missing it, I believe that online you were just called a ninja for the way you stuck into the podcast. I believe on Twitter.
Ninja.
I have called you a ninja.
I'd love to be on the chat. You know, literally right now, I'm holding one baby. The other one's in the lap. TV's on mute watching the A's game, and I got you guys. It's all about the continuous parallel attention I was teaching Sarah about a few months ago.
Great. And guess what? It gets easier when they get older. Trust me. I have first-hand knowledge. It gets much easier.
Man, I've been trying to do continuous parallel attention for the longest. It's hard work. Lewis and I gave up after, like, the first day.
Corvita shoots.
Yeah. Lewis is a master.
I can't
do that either.
I can't. I can only focus on one thing at a time. Maybe that's, like, you know, rare. Like, people are double-jointed. You have continuous parallel attention.
Oh, I was going to say, I find other things really distracting, you know, like the TV on and that sort of thing. I can listen to some music sometimes, but not the TV. I get too distracted, and I don't know how you do that.
That would be the worst for me. If there's music playing, you can just forget it. Like, I'm not listening. I'm not watching anything else. I'm just listening to my music. My discipline for attention isn't as high as Lewis.
Talked about distractions, and I want to go back a little bit to something Sarah said a minute ago about, you know, friend feed is too noisy for people. You know, you got your bright tide updates, you got your haiku or anything else. And so I literally, 20 minutes ago, was at friend feed headquarters talking to Kevin Fox, who's the head designer there. And I said, one of the things that you have with friend feed is you have to opt out of services when you start. I think you should have to opt in, right? I think they should have a friend feed light where, you know, if my mother signs up, she only has blogs and Flickr and that's it. She shouldn't have to be inundated with Twitter and Brightkite and Last.fm until she realizes, you know, there's a light, a medium, and a heavy version of the service. And, you know, it's a trade-off, and today they don't have that, but I think they should.
That's an interesting.
I don't know that an average user like your mother, well, I don't know your mother, but just the typical mother would know immediately what a light versus medium versus heavy service would even mean. They would say, what does this even mean? What do I get with light versus medium? Do I have to pay for the high? I think that would be the immediate thought. Oh, is that the paid service, the high one?
That all goes to marketing and being able to describe it well. Actually, on the mother issue, you know, she was one who started blogging back in 2004. She had her own website and a web group that was sold to an educational technology company back in 2002. So you talk about good stock. She basically introduced me to email and Mozilla before Netscape was even around.
Oh, well, then she could just sign up for the high version then. She doesn't need to start with light.
She's already on FriendFeed, to be honest, just not active.
Oh, okay.
Now, I can see that as being like a business model, though, you know, like for us who with like a lot of fees and accounts, you know, we pay the high model and then we get access to everything. But to keep your service clean and, you know, less noisy, so to speak, then you just, you know, you sign up and you just get like one RSS feed, maybe a Twitter account, and, you know, maybe a Facebook or something like that, and that's it for the average user.
I'm not even sure if FriendFeed's ever really going to cross over to the average user. I mean, I've explained it to several different average users, and they show absolutely no interest whatsoever. But I explained Twitter to them, and it's something they can kind of wrap their minds around. I mean, these aren't people who spend 24/7 on the internet, and they're not signed up on all these different services. They don't even know what half these services are. But you can introduce a simple concept like Twitter to them and describe how it works. And they say, oh, huh, that might be useful. I mean, I've convinced a lot of, quote, average users to get on Twitter. But when I try to talk about what FriendFeed is, they're like, why would I need to do, what? Why would I need that? So I think FriendFeed has a way to go before it could ever market itself to the mainstream. But
I usually
it happens.
I do a demo of Spokio first to give an idea. I say, give me your friend's email address. And they go, huh? He says, give me the address you want to follow. And I type it in, and then Spokio goes and searches all the networks it knows and brings in all the feeds automatically for them for that person's email address by their profile. And they go, wow, so I can see everything in one place. I go, yeah, now let's take you to where you see so much noise that you'll, you know, eventually they want to comment or limit it down, and then you move them to friend feed, and they get the idea. Because
it's
so much.
But you have to demo it. You know, that's the thing. You have to sit there and, you know, whether you're physically with them or you're virtually with them, you have to demo it for them to understand why it's cool. You know, you can just say what Twitter is, and a lot of people get why it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it on CNN during the hurricane. You know, that was cool. That made sense, what they were doing. Tell me instantly. Tell me what's going on. And then he was reporting it on the TV. That was why Twitter's cool, right there. And people can get that. Friend feed's a lot harder.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there. There's way too much. So we have one final topic before we go, because we're almost hitting an hour. So we have one final topic. And it brings what you just said with a stat that came out after our last podcast, and that was the stats from TweetRush. Talked about noise, talked about numbers and people and everything else. Then TweetRush came out showing numbers that didn't match what people really thought about the volume of Twitter. Did you guys all take a look at TweetRush already?
Mm-hmm.
You have. Everyone's going now. TweetRush.com.
I can't. I'm outside. My husband has the football game on full blast.
We hear the horns. We figured you.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. You know, it was either this or the football in the background. So.
Well, with babies, football, we're good all the way around. The idea is that people thought, you know, we've had millions and millions of, you know, tweets a day, and this doesn't account for private direct ones. It can't see directs, but it's showing just this week alone from a low of 760,000, all the way up to a high of just over a million, basically, per day. And with the number of users, you'd expect that there would be so many tweets per day, it'd be incredible. But
it's really not.
Right.
How many times do you tweet per day?
Yeah, what I'm saying, how many tweet per day, but they're saying how many people over per hour per day. They're saying if there's that many people actually using the service, wouldn't it be in the millions to cause the failures that Twitter's been having? And it's not. They're showing that it's the API calls possibly drawing out all these statuses and datas and updates all the time, and not the actual Twitters, but all these services that are wrapping around it. For a million a day, for the number of users you're supposed to have, let's say double that for privates, right? Let's say it's 2 million. That should be nothing for them to handle overall compared to, you know, what they're saying that they're getting in terms of load. Does that make sense?
There's a million Twitter services out there. So the fact that they're all pulling it, I mean, I know that's got to be, you know, influencing and causing a lot of those issues. And you know, there was a lot of debate over how Twitter was written to begin with, its architecture. So
they're saying that a high average was at 3 in the afternoon, and they were hitting 30,000 tweets an hour was their high, which to me is like...
It sounds like Corvita just took a week off, right? Like, if Corvita takes a week off, maybe that's why all the stats were low.
Twitter hasn't been as active on Twitter lately.
I'm not even going to get into why, but I'm looking at my stats from TweetRush for the last 7 days, and on Monday I only tweeted once, and then Tuesday I made up for it with, like, 28 tweets, which is still pretty low compared to the way I used to tweet when I first got on the service, and it's been going downhill ever since Tuesday. I'm busy. That's my excuse. And
yeah, what was everyone's average daily, you know, tweets?
My average tweet?
Yeah, from TweetRush.
If you look at right at the top of TweetRush for everybody's there, they can see it.
My daily average is 10.
Mine's 10.
Someone look up mine.
Okay.
You can do it for someone else, right? So you could probably find it for us and for Sarah.
I can do it right now. I got
okay,
Sarah.
Sarah's average.
I'll
well,
do
at least
it.
Never
mind.
Sarah.
I'll do Lewis.
Sarah's only 9.
I'm 12.
Twice on Wednesday, Sarah. What's going on? What happened Wednesday?
I don't know what happened Wednesday.
Well, this is since July 19th. Keep that. This is since they turned the service on July 19th. And Lewis, you're only showing four, average.
Wasn't there another service similar to this that showed you, like, a...
Tweet stats.
That's what I'm looking for.
It wasn't as tight as what they do here.
So, my average was 12.
See, Jeff, on the other hand, is a geek. And he, all day long, apparently just has nothing better to do but tweet. Now, did you look at, and that's what I wanted you guys to talk about, is the number one person, average, if you look at the bottom of the homepage, which you guys can't see for you two, but the number one person they're showing, top tweeters today, 819.
What the hell is he talking about? Or
wait, per day?
No, just
for,
just
for today alone.
Just for today, the top tweeter was 819 tweets. Now, if you go to that account and actually look at it, it's a little bit, you got to see what they're posting, but, you know, the next person's like 756, then all the way to 500 for some news.
Good Lord. It's not a spammer?
Well, here's what's funny. In the top five, Hurricane Hannah and Gustav are in the top five for their news. Gustav News.
Oh.
Washington Post is up there, too, with 205 tweets, and then a design XHTML CSS count goes for 366 tweets today.
See, so then you have the idea of what these people are actually doing, and a lot of these are pushing through automated data and not really Twittering, but I was saying to you guys is that, you know, based on this volume, it's got to be the outside services that are causing the issues right here.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, I know that.
I'm looking at tweet stats right now, and my aggregated daily average, on Thursdays I tweet the most, and I have a daily average of like 12,000 tweets. It's saying, I don't think I tweet 12,000 or 1,200 times.
Oh, are you looking at the top timeline? What's your tweet timeline and tweet stats?
No, I'm not looking at that. It's a little further down. It says aggregate daily tweets.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here you go.
I've taken them all down a path now. Now they're playing with the site. That wasn't the whole idea. Now
I mean, I'm just comparing.
What did you want to talk about?
I was just comparing Tweet Rush to tweet stats, you know, for longer.
Yeah.
Longer statistics, you know. I know my average is a lot higher than what TweetRush is saying. It's been pretty low lately, but I know it's a lot higher than what they're saying.
Well, TweetRush has only been around since July 19th. Keep that in mind.
So TweetStats got it right.
Right. There's a big.
I think for me, TweetRush has it kind of right. You know, it says that Sunday I did like 80 tweets, and I was doing a lot of hurricane stuff on the weekend. So then it has me get average daily at 29. So I think it's close.
Okay. So the point was, do you think it's actually the people with the Twitter that is actually killing the service sometimes, or do you think it's all these add-on programs that we're using?
No, it's the add-on programs, because I know the guy who did the Twitter movie review website, Tweet Plus, and he, you know, he's a Twitter API developer, and he talked about how he had to basically redo the whole back end of his site because of the API and the crashing and what was happening. And so he mentioned about how many services are pulling on the API, and that was really the main reason causing the failure. Not so much of the tweets, but the different services that people were using to pull down public timelines from these different applications.
Oh, it's the danger of having an open API like that, you know. Right. You're going to let anybody and everyone develop, then you can have some problems. In fact, Twitter is at the point now where they may want to consider having their API run through a middleman. I think it was Mashery that Marshall just introduced me to. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
Well, I am. Because of Marshall also.
Because of Marshall, yeah. It's like the middleman. They generally work with bigger sites. Like, I think they had Yellow Pages or White Pages and things like that. But people can query that instead of directly with the service. You know, until you have enough money, you can't necessarily use it, I guess. And these are... The sites that use it are like big traditional money-making websites, but they have an API that they want to share with select developers.
Wow. Well, I want to ask before we go. Oh, go ahead, Wayne. I heard you.
Oh no, I was just wondering this whole cloud computing movement will be something that Twitter or either, you know, they can use with the API. That's all. Wasn't that major?
Oh, nothing. Sorry. No. Sorry about that. No, I wanted to ask the ninja over there since he popped in on us unexpectedly. Is there any hot topics you want to cover before, you know, we're into this day, too? You and Sarah both, but is there anything you want to cover?
I think you got most of them. I think Tolu is interesting, social media is right, and obviously everybody's talking about Chrome. I was looking at statistics, and obviously my blog tailors to early adopters, but we had about 13% of all visits over the last 2 days were from the Chrome browser. I don't think that's sustainable, but it's a lot higher than anybody would have anticipated.
Well, what they're going to do is load Chrome and then look at your site to read what you said about Chrome. I mean, that's, you know...
Well, I hear they've gotten like 1% market share already.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's like 1.5 now.
We'll have to see if those numbers hold up over time or if everybody's just playing with it because it's new.
Now, Sarah, it's, and that's something that Sarah and Lewis, you know, didn't hear at the beginning, and something I said is that with the oncoming HTC phone, what is it, the Dream, right, coming down the pipe with Android available as an open across, you know, all the different carriers from the T-Mobile's, Verizon's, you have the ability to take a standard browser like Chrome and put it on the Android, have it on the desktop, have it sync in the background with extensions so it syncs their bookmarks and everything else and build a whole service architecture around it and really take over a big piece of the market share.
Oh, heck yeah. And that's their plan, too.
That's
very promising. It's still very early right now to see if that 1% holds up over time, though. I mean, it depends on how long before they have that model up and running. Because even though Sergey Brin said that it is going to come to Android, it's not coming to this first initial version on the HTC Dream. It's coming later on, and they won't confirm when, you know. So it could be years. It could be months. You have no idea what they're doing.
This is what I'd like to see. Because we always try to relate it to the, you know, the social networking space, social media space for this. But imagine if they picked up and purchased and stuck in something like Flock into the browser itself, into Chrome. If they brought in all those tools that Flock has already, you know, they're building themselves.
Oh, Flock. Okay.
Yeah, Flock. And brought that in, though, that type of capability into Chrome, why would you need a different browser that did all that stuff?
I don't know. If everyone's so interested in having all these tools like Flock in the browser, then why didn't Flock do well?
Because not enough people knew about it. It's only us early adopters, I think. But Google has a name to carry with it.
It was based on Mozilla, and most of the Firefox extensions work in Flock.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't know why it didn't have any appeal.
Yeah, I'm hoping they take that to the mobile device. So then you guys have no excuses to be connected.
But that's heavy. Flock is heavy.
No, they're not going to use Flock in its native self. They bring it over as, you know, rewrite what they needed to bring it over, but get that capability.
Take pieces of it.
Right, and make it mobile as well as sync, as well as have it on your desktop, as well as have it everywhere. Then you've got a tool that will sell across all the spaces.
But can you still do all of that and make it as light as Chrome?
No. No, you load it in pieces, like plugins, like extensions. You load it in pieces. They make it part of the framework, Google Gadget framework. They make it part of the, you know, you're taking docs offline with Chrome. Why not make that part of the offline experience?
Yeah, you know, Corvita, you mentioned something in one of your posts on Sheets that you think Google Apps needs to be better integrated into Chrome in the future?
That was entirely surprised and honestly kind of upset. Some people didn't really understand my reaction to it, but I'm like, if you're going to release something this big, why wouldn't you at least have some type of integration with any of your services? If not one single Google service was integrated at all with Chrome, which baffled me. Like, are you serious?
I think the developers are going to do that. That's the thing. That's why they got an open source and API, and you know, they're going to have extensions. They're going to let developers do all the work for them.
That's so lazy.
That's a perfect place to stop. First, she drowns everybody in the island. Now, they're lazy.
That is very lazy. It's your product. Why wait for someone else to do it when we all know that you can do it 10 times better than any developer can? Why wouldn't you integrate your own services into it?
Maybe they didn't want to get accused of being anti-competitive.
Or too far ahead of them.
They're getting pretty big now. You know, if they're the next Microsoft, then they need to watch themselves on how they proceed in the future.
Well, not only that last part, but not to get too far ahead of themselves for a first beta, alpha, pre-alpha beta release where not everything's working as expected anyway, let's not make it overly complicated and heavy to begin with, right?
At least I still think it's lazy.
Okay, good enough for me. Party's over. All right,
party's over.
All right, we're going to do the obligatory go-around. Like, we don't know where everyone can find each other now, but go ahead, Corvita, since you were being the loudest. Where can we find you this week?
I'm in my email a lot these days.
You know what I mean.
You can find me
at
SheGeeks.net. There's nothing to blog about.
You're not Twittering, so we know that.
There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about that hasn't been talked about. I'll tell you where to find me. You find me on ReadWriteWeb. Every weekend in the morning, PST time. If it's Eastern time, you can catch me in the afternoon. But ReadWriteWeb is where I'm at these days. You know, I'm really on a roll with my ReadWriteWeb posts. So that's where you can catch me. And if you want to talk to me, you're better off sending an email at this point. Please don't direct message me because I rarely check them, and I've turned off all email notifications for direct messages. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Email now I'm just never answers this, Wayne. Okay, problem solved. Wayne, what about you? And you've got 50,000 things going that are all now on delay.
I'm
going
to watch this stream all day.
Yeah, you can find me at WayneSutton.tv.
Now, wait, tell them. So Sarah knows, Wayne now has got to have 12 live video feeds watching him all day long. Seriously.
No, it won't be all day long. It's going to be one site to where you got the potential to catch me on one of 12 different video sharing social network sites at WayneSutton.tv, along with a video show that I'm going to produce on the website as well.
Wow.
Wayne and his open.
Going to be the next Chris Perillo here, huh? I know.
I got to go. I'm trying to be a Revision 3. I'm calling. I'm knocking.
You're knocking on Revision 3's door. It's going to be Wayne and his oatmeal every morning. We know what you're talking.
I'm going to pop in, man. I'm going to take a trip to Carolina and stop in just to pop by one of his screens. Yeah.
Oh, we got.
Hey, you know Wayne, I grew up in Raleigh.
Wow, for real?
Yeah. Yeah, and the North Hills area.
Meet
up in Carolina. Yeah, I haven't been back in years, though. Years and years. My dad lives up there. He actually lives, he used to live in Raleigh. He works in Raleigh, but he lives at the beach, Atlantic Beach. Sorry, a little side note. We can chat about that offline.
Okay, don't worry, they're all Googling that now. It's fine. Jeff, you and I are stuck in the middle, and Jeff has friend-feeded this whole thing, so Jeff, what else? Do we find you anywhere but as jeffisageek.net? Do we find you anywhere else?
No, pretty much that's it. On Twitter, Jeff is a Geek, friend-feed Jeff is a Geek. So.
And jeffisageek.net for the friend-feed interface to your blog now. You cheated, but that's okay.
Correct.
Do we even need to talk to Lewis? Should we just shun the ninja himself? Or
Lewis is everywhere.
Lewis, you still there?
Lewis is like air.
Like air. Is he still there, or did he have to go?
No, LewisGray.com. I'm here.
Oh, you're still there.
You can find me in just about every place with the idea of Lewis Gray. And so.
All right, and then who's left? Me? All right. Here, another site coming next week, which they heard about before the podcast started, so I can't say it now because we're still recording. But I do notes on everything across the entire universe, it seems, so every single site. So, gosh darn it, we had a ninja. We had a surprise person listening to...
And Sarah in Tampa.
Sarah in Tampa. I thought we did you first, Sarah. Gosh darn it. Sarah in Tampa everywhere, as well as Read Write Web, right?
And Channel 10 and SarahinTampa.com, when it's working.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to it today, like, damn, Sarah, it's down today. It's down. I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it anymore, but the DNS is changing right now, so it should be up later.
I said we need to get you a new provider to let us know.
I picked one up.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
And my transition team might have made some oopsies. I don't know. I'm not going to question them about it, but happy for their help.
She has a team, a transition team.
You hear that? That's more influence.
A whole freaking team.
Team. Can I get a personal assistant out of you? You got a personal assistant over there? No, but I really want one. So if anyone's interested, I want a VA.
I need a team to help get my sites up.
Team. All right, all you guys can hang on for a second. Everybody else, Social Geeks, the best roundtable yet. Well, out of two, it's got to be the best one out of the two roundtables we've had. Otherwise, 2 weeks, we'll be back, and you guys hang on just a second.
Happy birthday!
We are not T-Pain. We are not buying you a drink. Glad you're quick tonight. Great, this is going to go really well.
Oh, boo you!